Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio as we roll on this hump day. Hope you're having a great one out there in Raider Nation. It is just a jam-packed show to get to today, but first, have to have a hearty hello to my man Q.
What's happening, man?
What's shaking,
man? How you doing this afternoon?
You know, I am on Raider Nation Radio. How could I be anything but amazing? I mean,
no, that's right. I know that's right. And I'll tell you, man, today has been a fast and furious day. We've been talking about sports and we've been talking about a lack of sports. And I'm telling you, everything has hit me in the face today. So I had to power up and have one of my Dr. Jen's ultimate protein bars before we started the show today.
That's crazy. I had one, too. This time I had your favorite. I had the Mocha Crisp.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, dude. And you got to check out, seriously, folks, you got to go check out drjensnutrition.com. These protein bars, the first thing you got to know about them before all the nutritional stuff is they taste amazing. And that's the most important thing. Then you add in the fact that you can have some that are vegan. You can have, they're high in protein, 16 grams of protein, not a lot of sugar, not a lot of the stuff. This is good, clean food. And best of all, Raider Nation, Dr. Jen's Nutrition, they are supporters of Raider Nation. They are members of Raider Nation, a Las Vegas business. In fact, if you go to drjensnutrition.com, you can order some of the bars there, and I know a lot of our listeners already have. You get a special discount. Use the code SBT10. SBT10. Use that code. You get a discount. They even give you free shipping, so that is awesome. But, Q, yeah, I'm all fueled up, ready to go.
Well, I am too now, and I didn't mean to start the show with like a commercial, but I had to, man, because I was starving. So thanks to Dr. Jen's for supplying my food.
No, they're important to us, and Dr. Andrew and Jen, both good people, and we appreciate them being involved with Raider Nation Radio and with Silver and Black Today. Q, some breaking news. Raiders have signed another.
Yeah, the Raiders have signed a former first-round pick.
Whoa.
It's not Jadeveon Clowney. Sorry. Didn't mean to do that to everybody. Dayton Jones has signed with the Silver and Black. He was a former first-round pick of the Green Bay Packers back in 2013, and he had some good years with the Packers, four to be exact. But ever since 2016, really hasn't done too much in the league. 2017, he played seven games with the Cowboys, registered one sack and 12 total tackles. 2018, he played one game with the Cowboys, and, well, he's registered nothing. 2019, Jacksonville, he was in their camp, didn't make it out of camp. So I say all that to tell you that they signed another player for the defensive line, but as far as I'm concerned, he's just a guy who's going to be a rotational piece, maybe take a couple reps from guys here and there so they stay fresh during camp. But don't expect him to be a guy who, one, even makes the roster, and if he does, even be a factor moving forward, like a big deal. But it is a signing that we did have to bring to the table.
Absolutely. Of course, he's very familiar with Rod Marinelli, so you figure that's got to be playing to it. And by the way, I think I love his name. Dayton Jones is just, it just rolls off.
He sounds like a bad dude, don't he?
He does.
He sounds like he should be there in Vegas, but in the UFC ring.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm watching Superfly, and he's like one of the heavies. Right?
Okay.
Go down and check out my man, Dayton Jones, right? Yeah. I mean, come on.
I can get down with that.
I
still think he's a UFC fighter.
Yeah, there you go.
Coming to the ring, Dayton Jones.
I love it, man. See, there you go. You
like how I did that, huh?
I love that. Good transition. All right, we're going to get into, we had a bunch of press activity today, press conferences out in Henderson via the Zoom. A select few, including our own Vinny Bonsignor, was at practice today. There's 10 of us allowed in a day. I'm hoping to get out there at the end of the week or next week if I get the lucky lottery pick and my tests continue to be negative, which
hey,
I am
Scott,
hoping
can
for.
I tell you a secret?
Yes, go ahead.
Mama Q. That's what I call my mom.
Yeah.
She tried to drive by the facility today in Henderson thinking she was going to be able to see something.
Oh, did she?
Because we got everybody excited about the ramp-up period. So she's like, man, I'm going to get in the car. I'm going to drive by and see what I can see. Do a little scouting report for you and Scott.
See,
and then she hit me back and she was like, didn't see anything. Sorry.
See, the apple does not fall far from the tree.
But she tried. Honestly.
She tried. Well, that
you're
of course.
Guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take.
Hey, she is Mama Q, and she can do that's whatever right. the heck she wants. So if she wants
you
to drive
lying.
By and check out and see if she can see some football, hey, listen, it tells me everything you need to know about her and her son. By the way,
exactly. Right.
So, but they were out there today, and we heard from four people. We're going to bring you sound from three of those really quickly. We want to run through these. Of course, John Gruden had media availability. The schedules have all changed, so these are all happening early. Earlier in the morning, which is great because we can get them on the air for you. But they sat down and we talked with Coach Gruden and a bunch of different things. But I wanted to bring you some sound. First of all, you know, the last few days we've been talking all about college football being canceled and what impact it'll have on the NFL. They asked Gruden, hey, man, college football, what do you think of this? And does this mean you guys might not play? Here's what Gruden had to say.
I'm not going to get into all that. That's not my decision. I trust medical people that are advising us what to do. I take it very seriously. There was a comment that I faked the virus, which is totally untrue. I take this as serious as anyone. I want to do what's right for our players and coaches to be as safe as possible. I want to be a part of beating this virus into the dirt. Whether or not we should or shouldn't or will or won't, not a question that I have. I try to stay focused on the mission we have, and that is to be a great football team, the best we can possibly be, and stay healthy.
And Q, when he did the "we're focused," he literally took his hand from his brow and like pointed it out. So I thought that was kind of funny, but clearly Gruden's like, "Hey, I don't care, man. We're focused on playing football. What happens outside of this building and what decisions people make is not what we're about. We're about focusing on the football, which is what you want to hear."
That's exactly what you want to hear. I mean, that's all he can say.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's up in the air. Everything is up in the air. He's not sure what's going to happen, but he knows exactly what he believes today is going to happen, and that means he's preparing his team for an upcoming football season, and today was the first day of ramp-up, so that's exactly what he's focused on. Not worried about what's going on in college. That's for us to talk about.
Well, one of the guys we're really excited about on the defensive side of the ball, of course, is Corey Littleton, came over from the Rams, playing that linebacker spot that has been such a black hole, excuse the expression, for the Raiders in the middle of the field. And so we haven't heard from Corey Littleton yet. We're hoping to hear from him later in the week, I think maybe tomorrow. But Coach Gruden was asked about Corey Littleton and what he means, his presence and his play in the middle of that defense.
Well, we think he can do it all. He's been a three-down linebacker on a good team, a Super Bowl team. He's got sideline to sideline ability. He's got coverage ability, and he's what we're looking for. We just got to put it all together, put some time on task, and teach him our defense and get him comfortable like he was in L.A.
John Gruden with the short paragraphs, by the way, Q.
Right. Yeah, he's not going to overwhelm you with long answers.
No.
But he says all you need to hear.
Yeah.
You know, he says that he's sideline to sideline. He thinks that he's the piece that they need. You know, he's got to get them comfortable. That all sounds like that comes directly from defensive coordinator Paul Gunther and defensive line coach Rod Marinelli. That sounds like feedback from those coaches to me.
No doubt about it. And just a reminder, coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib, of course, coming over as a free agent from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we're going to talk to him, another piece of that defense, another player that the Raiders are going to stick up front and hope for good things and see if they rub off on one another. But we want to close with the Gruden comments. And we're going to hear from also Josh Jacobs and Terrell Williams a little bit later, Q. But one of the things today, the kind of note from practice, because, of course, they're just getting started,
yep,
was that two people were not on the practice field, Josh Jacobs and Trent Brown. And both those guys, little important to this team, I think. And Gruden, when asked about it, was pretty matter of fact.
No, there's no update. Everybody has a schedule. This is a strange training camp, so there'll be some strange things going on, and it gives us an opportunity to look at some players in this limited amount of time that we want to look at.
And Q, Josh Jacobs, who we'll hear from in just a little while, came on after Coach Gruden and said, yeah, everything's fine. So he confirmed, yeah, nothing's wrong with me. We just have a different schedule. And I think that's the different thing about this training camp, among
yep,
other a million other things, Q, is that we're just going to see different kind of schedules, different regimens of how they do things, and it's not going to all fit in. So some guys might not be out there at a certain time at practice, but that doesn't mean that they're injured or they're unable to go.
No, not at all. And that's the thing. We used to be able to determine who was healthy and who wasn't by who was out there practicing or if a guy got a Veterans Day off. Now you're not going to know because it's almost is like split roster. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be certain guys, like you said, they're on a schedule. Certain guys are going to be out there participating. Other guys won't at certain times because they're trying to limit the amount of people that are out there at one time. So now it's not as easy for a reporter like Vinny to go out there and say, well, I don't see Josh. I don't see Trent. Something must be going on. Are they in the training room? It's not that easy this year.
No, it's not. Okay, we're going to take a break here. By the way, you can chime in. We're going to have an interview next with Carl Nassib, the Raiders defensive end. After that, we'll go to the phones. We also are going to be previewing two more of the Raiders' opponents this season in 2020. This time, we're in a New York state of mind. We're going to talk with Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential about the New York Jets, and we're also going to talk to Nate Geary of Buffalo. He's going to talk about the Bills, of course. And so we're going to have that all coming your way. And your call, 702-365-9200. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920. You're listening to the Silver and Black Today, and we're excited now to talk to one of the offseason acquisition of the Raiders, and we think he's going to make a big difference, a five-year pro out of Penn State, Carl Nassib. Carl, welcome to the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you having me, man.
All right, buddy. Listen, you spent two seasons in Cleveland, then two in Tampa. What's it like for you being a Raider, coming into an organization with the history, the brand that is the Silver and Black, especially with this move to Las Vegas, the new training center, the new stadium? How are you feeling about all of it?
I feel great. The transition has been pretty seamless. I've always had a lot of respect for the Raiders. I won the Ted Hendricks Award in college and got a chance to meet Ted Hendricks, one of the Raiders' greats. So, I'm just really happy to be here, happy to be here to this the culture here, and it's going great.
Carl, why the Raiders? You know, when you were looking at your next opportunity and you had options perhaps, especially early on, what was it about the Silver and Black that made you say, that's where I need to go now?
There were a lot of things, to be quite honest. I was excited to be back in a 4-3. I was excited to be with Coach Marinelli. I've had a lot of respect for Coach Gruden over the years. I was in Tampa, and he won the Super Bowl there. So everyone in Tampa, you know, just absolutely loves him. So I wanted to get a chance to meet him. Also our GM, Mayock. I went to high school with his son, and, you know, we had a great relationship with him. So it's just honestly, there were, you know, so many reasons to come out here. And it's been a great fit so far, and just really excited to be here.
Well, and I know it's early on, and you talked about Rod Marinelli, and I think for Raider fans, you know, who know who he is, what I always find, Carl, is that people don't realize just how dynamic and great of a legendary coach he is. And that's not just words, that's via accomplishment and what he's able to do. I know you guys haven't been able to get on the field a ton yet, clearly, but he's one of those coaches that players love. He's the guy who gets invited to all the weddings, all that kind of stuff. What is it about Coach Marinelli, and what is it for you that you think you're going to be able to learn from him that you haven't in other spots?
So I had a chance to meet Coach Marinelli back at the Senior Bowl when I was leaving college. And instantly, in just the week that I was there, I realized the type of coach that he is, the passion he has for the game, and philosophically, technique-wise, it just really matched with everything that I believe in as a football player. So when you get players and coaches who are on the same page, you know, it's not as common as you would think. So I'm just really excited to learn from him. It's you know, every day you learn something. And he's very passionate. He's very knowledgeable, one of the most knowledgeable coaches I've been around. And, it's been going great.
Again, we're talking to Carl Nassib, defensive end for your Las Vegas Raiders. And Carl, let's talk about playing in Paul Gunther's defense. What's your impressions been so far? You know, you guys spent the entire offseason on Zoom, basically not working out, but going through the playbook and learning how he wants you to line up. You have a very good mix of guys on the front, young guys on the front. What is it so far about that defense that impresses you and that you like so much?
I like a lot of things about our defense. One of the main reasons why I came here. He does a great job. He has a really good scheme. I really connect well with it all. Everyone has a good understanding. And just a week and a half that we've been on the field doing it, which is kudos to him because he just does such a great job explaining everything. And I really like the crew of guys that we got on the defense. We got a lot of young, hungry players that are they have made names for themselves, but are still trying to, you know, be great and do everything right. Nobody's complacent. Everyone realizes that we have a lot of work to do. Everyone realizes that, you know, the opportunity that we have in this organization is big, and I don't think anybody wants to waste it.
Again, we're talking to Carl Nassib here on Raider Nation Radio. And Carl, you're coming off two really good seasons in Tampa, you know, 12 and a half sacks, 25 quarterback hits, 20 tackles for a loss, and three forced fumbles. Now you come into Las Vegas here with the Raiders, as I mentioned earlier, a young defensive front. You have some really nice pieces in there. Your role and coming in, I mean, you're a veteran, right? Even that 5 years, you have a lot of opportunity to not only make a difference there, but also to bring along some of those younger guys. What's been your impression of some of those younger players that you joined on the Raiders?
Everyone, like I said, everyone's hungry. Everyone's humble and hungry. And I enjoy talking with the guys. I enjoy learning from the guys. You know, I'm older than them, but they're teaching me things. I'm teaching them things. And I'm really excited to put the pads on and really see what everyone's got.
Yeah, because of your versatility and that athletic ability of yours, there's been some talk, too, that you may play some inside at defensive tackle on some of the passing downs. Is that something we're probably going to see? How do you feel about that?
I guess you'll see we won. Who knows?
Of course, you don't want to give away too much, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
But what about Coach Gruden for you, being around him? You know, everybody, I always ask players that because there's the Coach Gruden that fans and those of us in the media know. But then being a player for him, playing under him and his organization, because his personality kind of permeates throughout. How's that been for you?
It's good. I've only been around him in person for a couple weeks, but I like his acumen, so we have a lot of fun. Yeah, it's been an awesome experience so far, and I hope to build that relationship. And, you know, we're in this thing for the long haul, and we're in this thing to win now, so it's exciting.
Again, we're talking to Carl Nassib, defensive end for the Las Vegas Raiders. And Carl, just before we let you go, too, clearly everyone's focused on staying safe and making sure you guys all stay on the field. The decision to not have fans the first season at Allegiant Stadium, I think, was a great one because, again, we all want to watch you guys play and get you out there. Have you been impressed, too, on how the organization, how the NFL, and for you guys as members of the Players Association, too, have been able to make sure that when you go out there and you go to work every day, you're as safe as you possibly can be?
Yeah, honestly, I think everyone's safer in the building and doing everything that they tell us to do than we would be outside. So I think the operations, the head coaches, the front, everyone is just doing such a great job with the precautions. I mean, they're exhaustive. They're doing things that I would never even think of, you know, and I think I'm a pretty smart guy. So they're really doing a fantastic job, and I got to give them a lot of credit. It's been great. The whole NFL is doing a great job. I've been saying we're opting in, so we're going full head of steam with 16 games, and we're gonna give everything we got.
Carl, as a proud Nittany Lion, the happenings over the last few days with college football and a lot of the conferences basically saying we're not going to play because of the virus and all that's going on out there, how did that make you feel? I mean, because I know you guys at Penn State, even after you leave, you'd never leave Penn State in your heart, and you guys always love to watch your alma mater play.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing, man. I really feel for the players. The time you spend in college, it just blows by, and to lose a whole season is pretty catastrophic for the fans, for the players, for the coaches, for the community. But I do understand it from both sides. They got 125 kids in there, and the kids aren't even going back to school. So I understand both ways. It's a really horrible situation, but I'm glad I'm not the one making those decisions because that's a really tough call.
It is. If you were there, Carl, if you were a senior this year, you wouldn't play, would you, if they went to the spring?
if I was a senior,
if you were a senior,
and they went to the spring,
yeah, think about the NFL draft.
Oh, I don't know. I don't. That's interesting. I don't know enough about it to answer that question.
Well, Carl, we think you're going to be a huge addition for this team. You, Malik Collins, obviously a couple of the new guys up front, along with the returning starters like Max Crosby and Clelin Ferrell. And also on the inside, you have a lot of guys, I think, who are ready to just kind of make that next jump. And we look forward to seeing the progress. We certainly appreciate you joining us here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I appreciate it, man.
All right, there you have it. Carl Nassib, thank him for joining us. We appreciate it. And Q, you know, one of those signings where he's going to have a role, and it might be a very important role, but it doesn't necessarily mean that this guy's going to stick out like a star. But that doesn't mean that doesn't take away from any addition that he may add to that defensive front.
No, I think he's going to be a really good guy, a situational pass rusher, a guy that you can expect to get after the quarterback. I mean, he's been consistently getting 6-7 sacks a season, so I think you should pencil him in around 6 or 7 sacks, maybe even 8 or 9. I'll tell you one thing, he didn't sound very keen when you said about playing on the inside. He was like, yeah, we'll just have to see. You know, yeah. I don't think that was by mistake. I think he's telling you in his own way, like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing too much of that inside stuff.
Yeah, we've heard that he might be on certain pass situations,
right.
But clearly, yes, reading the room, if you will, that was not what he said. But it was great to catch up with him. I know we had a lot of folks wanted to hear from him. So we said, okay, well, let's get him on the air and let's talk to him about Raider football.
And the other thing, Scott, you can never have too much talent on that defensive line.
Right.
I mean, really, people ask, well, how's this guy going to grow if there's this guy here? It doesn't matter. The 49ers showed last season that you could have as many dogs as you want on the defensive line, and you can keep that rotation fresh. So the more the better, as far as I'm concerned. So Nassib is a welcome piece. Ferrell, no matter how they play him, is a welcome piece. Of course, Hurst, and then Collins as well, Hankins. I mean, all those guys, the more you can keep them fresh, the better.
Oh, excuse me. Absolutely. So we are going to take a break, Q. And when we come back, we're going to get a little serious. One of the people we're going to talk to today is Dr. Michael Olosko. He's from the Boston University CTE Center. CTE, obviously, a huge deal across the country, not only for professional football, but other sports as well as youth sports. We're going to get the latest from him on the progress that's been made. There's been a lot of progress. The Raiders, the NFL, have done a lot to try to focus on player safety. So we're going to have a conversation with him. And then after that, it is wall-to-wall callers and sound. We'll hear from Josh Jacobs. So call in 702-365-9200. You're listening to the Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio on this beautiful, warm Wednesday in Las Vegas, Nevada, the capital of Raider Nation. What we're going to do now, we had a guest on the show about a year and a half ago. I was at a charity function here, Mike Ditka's charity function, taking care of older players and the legends and all of that, and saw Dr. McKee there, who is one of the head researchers into CTE at Boston University, and someone who works with her, Dr. Michael Olosko, from Boston University's CTE Center, who studies the impact of repetitive head trauma, including those sustained by football players, was our guest. It was a fascinating discussion, and we like to check in with him from time to time to find out the latest. And so we bring in on the newsmaker line, Dr. Michael Olosko. Doctor, thanks for being with us here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
All right, so you know we've talked about this, and everybody I think has gotten up to speed at least mostly about CTE and how scientists have long studied single traumatic brain injury and how that contributes to cognitive issues in life, later in life, depression, all these different things. But in those studies, researchers didn't always examine the possible role of repetitive impacts and how that impacts you later in life. Now, you just had a study, I believe it was in June, right? Your latest study, where you set out to explore that. Tell us a little bit about what you guys found and what we're seeing now as we study this more and more and understand it better.
Yeah, sure. So that's a we're really excited by this study. So as you mentioned, our researchers have long focused on just a single traumatic brain injury, and our center has really been focusing on these repetitive head impacts. So these are repetitive head impacts that result in repetitive concussions, but also recurrent subconcussions or hits to the head that we think cause some type of brain injury but don't result in symptoms. These are the types of head impacts you often see in American football and other contact sports as well. So we recently tapped into the Brain Health Registry. This is an online registry of over 60,000 participants. It's based out of San Francisco. Anyone can visit it, but the purpose of it is to track people over time and assess their thinking and memory. And we looked at the association between people who reported having a history of repetitive head impact compared to those who did not in over 13,000 people. And we looked at their association with things like depression symptoms and thinking and memory. And we found that those who did have this history of repetitive head impact exposure had more depression symptoms as well as worse thinking and memory compared to those who did not have this history.
I know it hasn't been a long time, but the NFL has made a lot of changes as far as rules and trying to make it a little bit safer to try to eliminate some of that head trauma. How much of the results or research you've done, has it improved? Have you seen the improvement based off of the rule changes in the NFL?
Yeah, so I think those rule changes have done a great job with management of concussion. I think we've come a long way with the detection of concussion, with managing concussion, and I think that they've done a great job with that. The issue, though, what we're trying to solve here or tackle, so to speak, is these repetitive hits to the head. And these are just part of the game, and I'm not sure how you can modify, particularly a sport like American football, just because it's so inherent to the game. The sports like ice hockey, sports like soccer, those are sports where you can make some modifications, and they have been done to limit these types of hits to the head.
And again, we're talking to Dr. Michael Olasco from the Boston University CTE Center. And doctor, when we last talked, we went through the kind of basics of this, and people talk about better helmets and all that, but the helmet doesn't prevent the brain from moving when it has an injury or when it's struck or when it's moved, especially in the game of football in the United States, where you're wearing a helmet and because of the repetitive nature of the game, it just happens. How much of that, though, is that something that we should continue doing to make safer equipment, to do all that? Or at the end of the day, is it just really about the simple act of the repetitive nature?
Right. So I think that, I think we need to continue to innovate, continue to explore technologies that can potentially help reduce some of the impact, some of the forces that these individuals experience, and hopefully that can reduce and play a role in reducing brain injury. But like you said, helmet technology, I think it can only go so far in terms of how it can prevent the brain from moving around. It's going to be very challenging to do. But that doesn't mean we can't stop trying. I think we need to continue to try to innovate. But really, like, the efforts now are trying to mitigate risk. So we also published a study several months ago now where we tapped into Dr. McKee's brain bank, and we looked at people who came to the brain bank and the association between the number of years they played American football and its association with risk for CTE. And we found that the more years that the individuals, the brain donors, played, the higher the risk of CTE, their CTE was. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say an interesting, one of the issues with the brain, with our brain bank and studying it is selection bias. That means that people who come to our brain bank are more likely to have CTE. And because they're more likely to have symptoms. But we actually modeled that in our results in our study, and we accounted for that, and we still found that this association between the amount of years you play football and your risk for CTE still held.
What is the earliest age that you guys start to detect and you start to see signs of, you know what, this guy is showing symptoms of having CTE?
The clinical presentation of the disease is what is less well understood. You know, we have some reports on there where we start, on average, you can see symptoms in 30s or 40s. A lot of those symptoms tended to be problems with mood and behavior. If those symptoms are related to the actual disease of CTE or something else is not clear. And then we also see symptoms of difficulties with thinking and memory that tend to begin, you know, in the 60s, early 60s or so on average. Those are more common in a setting of a neurodegenerative disease like CTE. But really, we're trying to flush out questions like this and really clarify what is the specific clinical presentation of this disease.
Dr. Michael Olasco from the Boston University CTE Center is with us here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And doctor, you mentioned just a while ago about how the longer someone is exposed to these repetitive head traumas, the better chance they have. That makes, obviously, for those of us not in the scientific community, that makes a lot of sense. But I talk to a lot of NFL players, especially older NFL players, and even the younger players who I think are starting to think about, hey, you know what, if that is indeed the case, we know the risk when we go out and play football. We know the risk of CTE developing over time. And so might we see a time when players choose to have shorter careers because we understand this better?
Yeah, I think, as we need to learn more about the disease and conduct more studies, more rigorous studies, longitudinal studies to really figure, really inform on risk. You know, that paper I talked about before, it was, you know, it doesn't apply to everyone. We don't know an individual's level of risk, but we do know that there's likely some risk there. So, there are kind of campaigns out there, for example, led by Concussion Legacy Foundation, where they're really advocating for people to start later. And the kind of the point of that is if you start later, you're reducing the number of years you are exposed. So there are efforts like that, and I think you will see continued efforts to try to reduce how much someone's exposed to these repetitive head impacts. But just like everything else in life, people engage in risky behaviors, and it's up to the kind of science to inform on what these risks could lead to, so that the people are aware of them and can make their own decision at the same time.
Yeah, for me, doctor, as a father, I'm a strong believer in the delay, meaning that if the kids are going to play football, let them start later, especially with the growth of flag football, where they learn the game, they're learning everything they need to go out and play the tackle game. But when their brains are younger and they're developing and growing, limiting the opportunities for them to have an injury at an early age, where cognitively later in life they could see it much sooner, certainly is something that I support personally. And are we starting to see, too, much more awareness amongst parents, amongst youth sports of this issue as well?
I would, based on what I hear through kind of similar outlets as you all probably is, I would say the answer to that is yes. I think there is a growing awareness to it, and I think that there is associated behavior changes due to this awareness, including declines perhaps in youth football or other types of programs like that. And I think it's because of the science that has begun to come out and show the risk associated with these repetitive head impacts.
Yeah, and we all love the game. We want it to stick around, and we want those that play it, including our own families, to be safe. And we certainly appreciate, Doctor, your work to do this research. It's vital research, and I know the world and the sport will be better for it. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dr. Michael Olasco from the Boston University CTE Center. And Q, you know, again, we all love football. We want the people that we love who play it, the people that we love to watch playing it, to be as safe as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, man, it's really tough because we know it's a gladiator sport.
Right.
And when you're involved in a gladiator sport, there's going to be a lot of head trauma. And when you have head trauma, you're going to get concussions. And when you get concussions, at some point, you're set up for CTE. And so it's the ugly part of something that we love. You know, it's an American pastime. We love football like no other. And, well, unfortunately, this is the ugly part of it. And so the NFL's been doing the best that they can. Youth sports have been doing the best that they can. Collegiate sports, everyone's trying to make sure everybody is as safe as possible. But at the end of the day, it's a gladiator sport, and it's going to be a risk at all times.
Absolutely, and it's just good that we're all talking about it, and I love to see the league, and I know being around the Raiders and what they do to make sure safety is a top priority is also a big deal. So we appreciate Dr. Lasko. All right, Q, we're going on the phones, man. We cannot hold back Raider Nation any longer. Anthony joins us on the Raider Nation hotline. You're on with Q and Scott on Silver and Black Dog. Today.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What you got?
Well, you guys know me as probably Raider Lifer on Twitter. Q knows me because I follow his show, you know, every day. I have insane amounts of respect for what you guys just did because that's not a thing that comes up very often with the CTE and stuff. And it is super important. And I 100% agree, especially in youth, with youth sports and whatnot. I'm 100% on board with that. You got dudes like Jonathan Abram, though, who don't care about that. So, you know what? If you want to go out and you want to hit somebody, if that's what you love to do, go do it. You know, if you know you're taking the risk, you know, and we love it. As fans, we love to see that. Like, we love to see the hard hits, but we have to have, you know, at the same time show respect because we're not doing that. I build boats. You know, I'm not taking those hits every day, and I don't know if I would take those hits every day, you know, because of my family and stuff. So I give every football player out there who knows the risk and goes out and does it anyway, even though, you know, the science and the safety and everything is getting better and better every year, I give all those guys the most utmost respect. But that's not exactly why I called. I called because I heard a call off of Q's podcast today, and it was from a guy talking about the media and kind of touching on the media aspect of the Raiders. And I kind of wanted you guys' opinion because it's kind of how I feel. I feel like since we've been, me personally, I've been a Raider fan since 85. Okay, so I've been in this for a long time. And it's very rare the Raiders get good coverage in the media. You know, it's usually, oh, the Raiders screwed up or, oh, you know, look what the Raiders just did, you know. And like when we signed Antonio Brown, he's a problem child, you know, they screwed up, blah, blah, blah. The Patriots signed Antonio Brown, and, it's a glorious move, you know. It's an amazing move. They you know, they're just leaps and bounds, like, oh, yeah, praise. And I feel like all this comes back to Al Davis bias, like from the AFL, like way back when the NFL holds a grudge against us because there is no positive Raider news hardly ever in the media. It's always negative, whether it's about like Derek Carr's press conference, right? All I saw was the clickbait on, you know, Derek Carr talking about respect and how, you know, he needs to earn it because he had no wins. And then Q brought up the fact that he wasn't even talking about himself. He was talking about the team. You know what I mean? And in every aspect of the Raiders, I feel like we get burned on ESPN, on which is not going to probably, you know, be a good thing for this show. But ESPN or SportsCenter or NFL Network or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they know that. And they post things like, let's say, Henry Ruggs being in the slot. Because they know they're going to get the clicks from the Raider Nation because we listen to this literally 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. In my opinion, we are the most diehard fan base in this entire league, you know, and we care. Like, this is a whole nother level of fandom.
Yeah.
And they know by posting that stuff that they're going to get clicks. They are going to get subscriptions. They are going to get money.
Well, hey, but
I
Anthony,
feel like,
Anthony,
I'll let you
no,
talk
I was going to say, here's the thing. No, and what you said, there's a lot to unwrap there, right? So let's do layer by layer. I mean, a great call, buddy, and we certainly appreciate your support and you listening to Q's podcast as well. But a couple things. Number one is, yes, you're going to get media who do things. Their job is to create discussion. When they say things, in my view, I tend to say what I believe. I don't pick things and say them to create a reaction. But there are people who do. I'm not naming names. I'm not casting dispersions on those people. I'm just saying they do. Secondarily, there's also a saying that says, listen, you know what? The people who seem like they hate you, they're actually just confused supporters. I think the media queue overall, while there are people, there were some people in the Bay Area when the Raiders decided to move and all that jazz happened, who got negative. There's no question. They were feeding into that.
Right. But, no, that's the truth. And that's the good thing about Raider Nation Radio 920 is that this is a really good outlet with a lot of credible reporters and a lot of people that have been in the business for a long time and are going to call it how it is. You know, it's either going to be positive or negative, but it's going to be fair. And that's all I think that Raider fans have ever asked for. Now, as far as, you know, there being a lot of negative feedback and national, I mean, look, the Raiders are a brand. They're one of those brands where you see that shield, you see the colors, you hear the name, it draws your attention in. And over the past decade, I mean, let's be honest about it, it's been a lot of negative. And the reason is because the team hasn't been very good. So you're going to get a lot of that negative feedback, and it's easy. It's easy for folks that are nationally, that's not paying attention like we do on the daily, to just go ahead and pick up on a headline and run with it. You know, just like he brought up Derek Carr and the disrespect comment. Right. I mean, if you really listen to it and you really digest it and dissect it, he's talking about the whole team where everyone else just picked up on, oh, Derek Carr is complaining or he's crying or he's being a baby. That wasn't what reality was. He was talking about the cast on the rest of his team. So, yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of good points there. Ultimately, what will change that? Winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
And winning more.
Well, and that's what I would say to you, Anthony, and to Raider fans, too, is listen. You watch these things and they make you angry. I get it because you guys are so loyal. That the media does know that Raider Nation is loyal and it's die hard to the bone, right?
Yep.
So they know if they talk anything Raiders, it is going to. But, you know, clickbait, all that stuff. Listen, there are websites out there and they have stories on them from the biggest companies to the smallest, including our own at silverandblacktoday.com. We don't put stories out so you don't click on them. Right. I mean, we want you to click on them. We like to be more substantive. But remember, too, just like you, a lot of the fans who are not very positive about Derek Carr, they say, prove it. Right. They say, hey, oh, you want respect? Prove it. Well, I would say to the fans, if you want respect from the national media and you want to read positive stuff, just win, baby.
Right.
I mean, that's
now
that's,
I will real quick what he said about the Patriots going to sign Antonio Brown. And all of a sudden, yes, it's a great idea. That is absolutely 100% spot on.
Yes.
It does not matter what the New England Patriots do. It is always looked at as genius. And the Raiders can go and do the exact same move, and it would be like, that was the dumbest thing I ever seen. But the difference is the Patriots have, what, 6 rings?
Yes. They can kind of brag. They can kind of brag.
Yep.
And you know what? That's what happens. Everybody wants to be a part of a winner. They want to praise it. They want to talk about it. They want to find a new angle. And you understand that. But the late, great Cliff Branch on this show to me told me, to Anthony's point, told me too that he believed 100% of his being that the reason he was not in the Hall of Fame was Al Davis. Not that Al Davis prevented him, but because older voters that vote for the Hall of Fame were holding that against him because he played for Al during those days. And so they were not going to allow him to get into the Hall of Fame. You'd think Mr. Davis died in 2011. You'd think that that would have gone by. But no, it didn't. And unfortunately, Cliff didn't live to see that change, which is unfortunately. All right, we're going back.
That's the same for Tom Flores as well.
Yes, Tom Flores is a complete joke that he's not in the Hall of Fame. So many. And we'll talk. We're going to save that for a whole segment sometime. We're going to go on the phone with a couple minutes we have left before the top of the hour break. We're going out on the Raider Nation hotline here on Silver and Black today to Joey. Joey, you're on with Scott and Q.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Good, man. Hey, I just want to tell you guys what great job you guys are doing. I usually listen to podcasts music while I'm driving. You know, I'm always on the road at work. But just this whole thing that you guys are doing from the morning to late afternoon, talking about Raiders all day long, is like something that we, us Raider fans, wanted for so long. And I wanted to thank you guys for that, getting me through the day. You know, a couple calling from Central Valley, nice. You know, Fresno. So,
yeah.
I'm out here.
Oh, yeah, man. No, I appreciate that, Joey, man. Yeah, we. Hey, I lived in Fresno, too. I lived on Bulldog Lane, baby.
You got to know how hot it is over here, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We share that in common. It's hot as heck here, too. But Anthony, no, we appreciate the feedback on Raider Nation Radio. And really, you know, I think JT's done a great job, too, of talking about how maligned and how hungry the Raider fan has been for media that gives the franchise the respect it deserves. And that doesn't mean we're going to agree with the franchise or cover the warts or cover the bad play or any of that stuff and try to make it flowery. We're not, because that's not what you guys do. But
no.
I will tell you, this show, I know Q with his podcast, this entire station is really here because of you guys, because you are the most passionate fan base there is. Right, Q? I mean, you hear it all the time, too, with the podcast.
No doubt about it. I mean, there's only one nation for a reason. That's Raider Nation. The fan base is the most passionate fan base ever. I don't care who you are, but they are. They just, you know, bleed silver and black. And it's been way too long, man. They haven't had the coverage that they deserve, even when they were a winning team. The year they went to the Super Bowl, they didn't get the coverage that they deserve. So it's about time that a station decided to dedicate themselves to the silver and black. So, again, hats off to Raider Nation Radio 920, Lotus Broadcasting, for making this happen.
Absolutely. It's fascinating. And thanks again, man. Don't make it too long before you call next time, and keep it all real there in the Central Valley. We appreciate all the work everybody does out there.
Be careful out there.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you do that.
Hey, dog, I'm telling you, you said you lived on Bulldog Lane.
I did.
I was one time in between places. I was moving, and I moved into the Dog Pound, and I thought that was Bulldog Lane. When I quickly realized I was on the west side of town and that I had to sleep with a bulletproof vest on at night, it was not very good for business. And so I had to hightail it out of there pretty quickly. So don't make that mistake.
When you put the movie on colors and you start to see your apartment in there, you're in trouble.
Exactly.
Right?
That's a problem.
All right. We're going to step aside for a break for the top of the hour. Man, we're having fun as usual. Because that's what we do. We bring it for Raider Nation. We appreciate you being a part of it. When we come back, we'll get to some more sound. We're going to hear from Josh Jacobs. We're going to hear from Terrell Williams. And then we're going to talk to Dan Leberfeld from Jets Confidential. We'll learn more about the Jets, J-E-T-S, Raiders opponents, coming up next hour. You're listening to Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920.